RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Go RVing. Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by GoPower. For 22 years, GoPower has been a trusted leader in the mobile solar and power inverter market. Their solar and inverter systems and kits offer full-time or secondary power sources wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. To size a power system for yourself, visit gpelectric.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are diving into the details of all the mods that we did on Buck, the Octane Toy Hauler, in 2018. We spent a lot of time camping in Buck, and we wanted to outfit him with some of the latest and greatest stuff in the RV industry.
We're talking solar power, water filtration systems, and endless hot water on demand. Plus, we installed an RV keyless entry system and upgraded our travel trailer tires. We loved mostly everything we installed, but you'll have to listen to hear all the details.
You might think your RV has everything you need to enjoy your camping adventures, but we'll probably tempt you with an item or two that we now love. You are listening to episode number 199, RV Modifications on Buck the Octane Toy Hauler.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, RV modifications on Buck the Octane Toy Hauler, it's time for another RVFTA summer road trip tip, and this one is sponsored by our friends at Outdoorsy.
Which are the experts on road tripping, pretty much, because they give people RVs to road trip in.
They do.
Or provide for rental, at least. They're not giving them away.
They provide the platform. there's a nice platform.
Yes, Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. We think that this is such an amazing economic opportunity for RV owners, and we definitely wanted ourselves to experience all sides of that Outdoorsy process.
And girlfriend, entrepreneur, yeah. Stephanie. You've been renting out Penny.
Yeah.
Like, slow down already.
Yeah.
You know, you've been renting her out a lot.
I know. I turn people down all the time, too. She could have been rented out all summer, but we're busy. We're traveling.
Yeah.
So.
I think every single weekend. Not kidding.
And
every
I just
single
had
weekend.
Somebody, you know, message me for next week, I think, too. And I said, sorry, you know, we're away, so we can't rent her out.
Why
I
don't
could
we
hire
get somebody,
someone?
I honestly think we should hire somebody. It'll cut into those margins.
I know. Now, we are experiencing the flip side, and we are currently renting an Outdoorsy unit during our big trip out west. So make sure you follow over on Facebook and Instagram. Take a look over there at our posts about our experience and, you know, tell us if you would ever rent an Outdoorsy unit.
And some gorgeous photos in South Dakota.
Absolutely. So you can look at our IG stories, lives, visit rvfta.outdoorsy.com. You can get a $100 rebate if you sign up at that link by listing your RV.
Stop the madness and give the link again.
Okay, rvfta.outdoorsy.com.
$100 credit when you list your RV.
And wait, there's more. If you use the code RVFTA when you are actually renting an RV yourself for your own use, you get $50 off. That's good. That's a free night in Penny.
That $50. Is a free night in Penny. Until you got to raise the price.
I know. You keep telling me that.
All right. Our summer road trip tip. Stephanie decided she wanted to wade right into the middle of one of the hottest controversies in all of the world of RVing. But I think Stephanie and I are starting to feel confident enough that we can deal with these things in an appropriate way.
Because here's the thing. It's easy to wade. It's not really that tricky of a topic. There's an answer. People just like to yell at each other about some of these things on the internet about their own opinions and their own experiences. experiences. But really, when you boil it down to there's facts.
Just like anything else people like to yell at each other about on the internet.
There's facts behind the whole situation. So let's just talk about the facts.
About whether you should drive with your propane on or not when you're towing your RV or when you're driving your motorhome or whatever.
And heads up, guys, the answer to whether you should drive with your propane on or not is not, well, I never had a problem. You know, like, that's not the answer to that question.
Yeah, I mean, look, and also, we're not being too preachy here. We drove with our propane on, gosh, I think for 4 years before we stopped.
Absolutely. And when you first started to float the idea that maybe we needed to stop because we had gotten a little more educated, we had been seeing some of the facts out there, and you started to see to me, you know, Stephanie, I think we need to think about this. At first, I was really, I was like, I can't even believe you're talking to me about this, because one of the biggest benefits for me to RV travel is that I grocery shop before we leave for all of our food. I stuff that refrigerator and freezer full of food, and I love the fact that it's there for me when we
get
to the destination.
And that was during one of the summers when we were doing like Sleeping Bear Dunes in Traverse City. We were doing 14 to 15 hour drives for these road trips. And you're like, well, I can't keep my food cold the
whole time. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know, grocery shop when we get to a destination. I'm like, that will ruin everything. So at first I got a little bit defensive about it, but then I thought, okay, safety is important. So let me dive into this a little more. And one of our primary expert resources that we always go to is Mark Polk. You've heard him on the show before. Mark knows what he's talking about. And so we really listen when he talks. And I'm going to read a quote.
It's like the voice of God speaking to you from Mount RV.
RV God. He's RV God. All right. So here's what RV God says. From a safety and liability standpoint, he, quote, always recommends traveling with the propane system off at the cylinders or tank. You are safer in the event of an accident, but also when refueling if the refrigerator has an open flame in proximity to fuel vapors.
Way to put it, Mark. And that was my initial nagging concern. Like, it's if you don't get into an accident, basically you're fine. You know, but what was bothering me all those years ago was like, well, what if we actually do get into an accident? God forbid, that's going to be bad enough. But then to have propane flowing through the system, I was worried about what could happen.
Mark really stresses that, you know what, propane is a safe system, and you are probably not going to have a problem. He's not saying you're guaranteed to have a propane issue if you drive with it on. What he says is, from a safety and liability standpoint, you're better off with it off.
You could also probably cook with a propane stove in your house and not pass out, but you might.
But you
might. You might die.
So don't do it. You know, every expert out there pretty much says the risks of a propane accident are minimal, and you need to maintain your rig, check for leaks, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's more safe to do it with the propane turned off, we decided that we were going to start doing it.
So we agree with Mark, and we're not judging you if you are traveling with your propane on, because we did for 4 years. But now the question is, Stephanie, how did we deal with this in terms of getting our food to the campground and keeping it cold in the RV refrigerator?
You can do that. And this, and we have, okay? So here's some tips for it. First of all, if you cool your refrigerator fully to temp before you take off, the refrigerator should stay at temperature if the door is not opened during travel for up to 12 hours.
If you want to see Stephanie get mad at me, watch me open the RV refrigerator door when it's not necessary.
All right. So here's a couple of tips for keeping it to temp. Put frozen water bottles or a bag of ice in the fridge before leaving. A lot of people in our Facebook group do this. So they'll put like a jug of frozen water into the refrigerator, and that's going to keep it really cold, even, you know, of course, if you're not opening and closing the door.
And it might take up a little bit of space, but it's better than your food getting ruined.
Now, another person in our Facebook group recently recommended a digital thermometer that actually monitors and records the temp every hour. And it's called Sensor Push, and I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode. But I thought that if you're one of those people that wants to be safe, but you're really worried about your food safety and your refrigerator staying cold, go ahead and invest in that. And then you know your food's staying cold.
That sounds like a great product. I'm surprised we never heard of that before and that we didn't buy it, because I buy everything.
You buy everything. And also, I would highly recommend just pack a cooler ahead of time with lunch, drinks, and snacks for the road, and then you don't have to. Now, of course,
and you can keep that cooler. I mean, you could, hypothetically, you know, I don't know how much weight you're carrying in your RV. You could keep that cooler in the RV, still pull over and enjoy the benefits of the RV kitchen.
Now, some of you saw me bragging on you know, not having to worry about that whole issue anymore over on social media this summer because we got solar and that actually solved this problem, which I hadn't even thought about ahead of time and then realized it would solve this problem. But we are going to talk more about this on our upcoming episode, right?
I think it was the single biggest benefit of solar that we didn't actually think about.
Never thought of it. And it was like manna from heaven. It was awesome. So we are going to be back in a minute and we are going to dive in to our RV modifications.
Yeah. Well, first we'll talk solar and we'll talk about a water filtration system that we love. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm really excited to talk about solar and to talk about water filtration. They're more exciting topics than you might think. We're about to dive in and give you our review of some awesome products for the RV. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years, and it's summer. RV season is in full swing, and the question is, how are your tanks holding up?
I keep asking them, and they don't respond.
We have noticed that one of the biggest issues for RVers is toilet and tank maintenance, and also, of course, odors. So we actually asked Paula, the mad scientist from Thetford.
And by the way, she's lovely. Yeah. Paula, the mad scientist. She's the nicest mad scientist I've ever met.
She's one of our faves. So we asked her to come on our show and give us all the info that we need to keep everything in tip-top condition. She gave us a lot of great, accurate information. So make sure you go and check out that special episode of RVFTA if you didn't already.
Because the toilet in your house is a lot different than the toilet in your RV.
And people tell you to use bleach and you shouldn't do that. So visit Thetford.com for more information about their products, or you can visit RVFTA and learn more there.
Let's talk solar. And I'm going to start with my big point about how I feel after having a solar system for 6 months that we have used and we're going to be using more into the fall and hopefully even the winter. I can't imagine having an RV without solar now that I've had it. And this is confusing in a sense because we're not going to have the toy hauler forever. And we might go to something lighter at some point. I still want a solar system. I'm sold on it.
Oh, well, that solar system is not going along with Buck.
No, it won't. Solar system will get transferred.
Yeah, and we actually talked about that ahead of time to make sure that we could transfer it and we could go back to what it was originally, you know, wired like and everything. Okay, so we're going to kind of do this in a way. We're going to tell you why we did the modification. We're going to tell you about the modification, and then we're going to give you a review. Okay, you ready to go, Jar?
Let's do it.
All right, so why? Why did we decide to get solar? Well, you know, first of all, we have an RVFTA media company. We cover what's out there in the RV community, and everybody is interested in solar right now. It's a hot topic.
I think it's going to tip at some point soon. That's what it feels like. It feels like it hasn't tipped yet, but I'd say within 1 to 2, 3 years max, it's going to be more common to have a solar system than not to have a solar system. So we wanted to get out ahead of that and really test one out and see how one worked in our lives.
Yeah, and we wanted to kind of have a little bit more of a working knowledge as we're at these RV shows and as we're, you know, talking to potential shoppers. We wanted to be able to actually talk a little bit about solar and that experience. So we decided to dive in. Now, you know what? Another thing is we just really don't like dry camping that much. Like, we have this amazing RV. We've done tent camping. We have this amazing RV and we love its luxuries. And we want to go to the places that do not have hookups, but we still want to use our luxuries in our RV.
And it's amazing. Like, having a solar system allows you to either be boondocking, to be in a Walmart parking lot, a Cabela's parking lot, and basically be running all systems. And we are able to run all systems except for the AC. And I wouldn't say it's not that I don't like boondocking over the years or I don't like dry camping. I just love my hookups.
Right. Yeah. No, I would just say that it is something that is more of an effort for us. Whereas if we can comfortably use all the things in our RV, we're super happy. Okay. Now, what solar RV system did we put in? All right.
So we're talking GoPower.
Right.
Okay. We worked with them directly on this system. GoPower and our friends at Jayco were interested in what one of these systems would look like and how it would be used by people like us, kind of normal RVers. So we've got three gorgeous 100-watt panels permanently mounted on the rooftop. And
right.
they can stay. And this was, again, a surprise when we first started talking to GoPower. They can stay on all winter long. When I winterize, I don't need to take these off and store them.
Nope, they can hold up to the elements. Now, some people might be saying, well, why do you have three 100-watt panels? Because there's 150-watt panels out there. You could have just gotten two of them, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when we were doing this system, they were really interested in building something for our RV that would eventually allow people to add solar at the manufacturer level. So just as a little education for everybody out there, right now, many manufacturers are solar prepping their RVs, but very few will actually install the solar at the plant or at the manufacturer.
And that's where I think it's going to tip, right?
Right.
I mean, that's why I think like in a couple years, you're going to click a button when you order an RV,
yes.
you know, if you're ordering one, as opposed to picking one off the dealer lot, and you're just going to be adding, you know, a couple $1,000 or whatever that unit costs.
And that's what manufacturers are looking forward to. They're saying, is this going to be a worth it for us? Can we, you know, get enough people that want this? So, you know, that's what Jayco's interested in right now. Hey, and they would put 100-watt panels up so that people could build a system like that, 100, 200, 300. So that's
and
what we went
as
with.
As you go. I mean, mm-hmm. you could hypothetically start with one and build mm-hmm. the system out from there.
Exactly. It's a nice even system. So that's why we have what we have. Now, we also have a 2,000-watt inverter, 100-amp charger. So it's an inverter charger that combines. Now, that is actually more than we need for our particular use. But what Mark Spilsbury from GoPower, who you heard back on episode 186, he wanted to give us room to grow. So he said, look, you know, if you get a 2000, you know, watt inverter, then in the future, if you do want to use a generator, if you do want to amp up and use air conditioning, because if we added a generator into our system, we could use our air. So he was like, I know you don't have a generator now, but if you want one, I want to give you a system that can handle that.
And also a key thing to consider that as you install a system and then as you add panels to the system is that you're adding weight and mm-hmm. you have to be very thoughtful about the weight you add and you have to have the cargo carrying capacity to add that weight. So, you know, we didn't think this when we bought the toy hauler, but a toy hauler is perfect for a solar system because they have a lot of cargo carrying capacity, particularly for people like us where we're not hauling motorcycles, razors, golf carts. We just have way more cargo carrying capacity than we need or use. And you know what? The system took up a nice chunk of that. I mean, this is a 700-pound system, but we are safely able to put that in.
All right. So then we also have the inverter charger remote. And this is a really nice little panel that installed very flat and clean to the wall of our RV. It looks like it was there all along. It doesn't stand out. And it has all the controls so we can see how much charge it is. We can turn the inverter on and off from that solar controller and the inverter remote, and it does all of that for us. And then we have six deep cycle gel batteries,
which is where a lot of that weight comes from.
Right. Now, it's very important to note that we had the gel batteries because some of you are thinking batteries like the batteries that, you know, you would normally have attached to the outside of your RV that need water and that need maintenance. And Mark schooled us on these gel batteries that actually are stable and do not need any of that water maintenance. They don't need to be carried in from the cold during the winter. Another awesome point for us.
Now, why I really want to see the manufacturers working with the solar companies like GoPower more closely, because I think one of the big issues about adding them aftermarket, that if any of you want to add a system, this is something you really got to think about. And you're going to probably need somebody to help you think through this. Where do you put those batteries?
Mm-hmm.
Because you need that weight distributed evenly in the coach. You know, you don't want 700 pounds of batteries. And it's not the whole system, the weight is not all from the batteries, but you don't want hundreds of pounds of batteries all on the left side of the RV,
yes.
or all on the right side of the RV under the dining room table. Luckily, we had a place in the toy hauler where they could be mounted roughly above the axle.
And in the center. And practically in the center.
So it's not adding a ton of tongue weight either. Because mm-hmm. Mark said a lot of people do put them under their beds, which mm-hmm. might sound weird, but they're safe. But then that does add tongue weight. So my hope is that when the manufacturers start working more with the solar companies, that then the rigs will be more designed to have places for them.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit easier in some of the motor homes that have the undercarriage mm-hmm. storage, et cetera, et cetera. But on a travel trailer, it can be tricky to position them.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the main points in my, you know, thoughts in this, the review of this product is that, you know, because solar isn't being installed often at the manufacturer level. What happens is it's sort of being treated online as a DIY project. And having gone through the process of learning more about the system and seeing it installed and using it for the first time, I'm more convinced than ever that solar is not a DIY project unless you have quite a bit of background with like electrical wiring systems.
If you know just enough to get into trouble, have someone else do it.
Yeah.
Know thyself. Some of you out there are incredibly handy and mechanical and you could do this, but because there are safety issues involved, you know, we would recommend having them professionally installed.
Yeah, I don't think that this is something that you really watch on YouTube and you figure out, like having seen this go under, even with like our dealer was so intricately involved in this whole process. And Ed has been in this industry for decades. He knows RVs inside and out, and he was careful and he was learning and he was going through the process very thoughtfully, you know, and that tells me something. It tells me that even somebody that knows everything needs to learn new things.
It was a learning curve for the service department at our dealer. And we have a world-class service department in our
dealer. They're fantastic. So, you know, that is my first piece of feedback is I would only venture into solar unless you just want to plug into, you know, your little solar system that is already set up. It's prepped and you just want to plug in a portable panel or something like that. Go ahead and do that. That's easy. But if you're installing an inverter like we were, if you're installing panels on the roof, I would proceed with caution.
So let's talk about using this. You know, and on our last trip up to Nova Scotia, we did use it. And one of the great benefits is the being able to use it on traveling days, like just to pull over on the side of the road and have the lights be able to turn on. We could pull over and make coffee if we wanted to. We spent the night in a Cabela's parking lot. And again, we cannot use the AC at this point with our solar system, but it was cool up in Maine. We had a fully functioning RV running off our solar system.
Blew our minds. We were not prepared for that kind of experience. Like it hadn't occurred to us. We were thinking, oh, dry camping, if we stay at a campground without hookups, the way it impacted our daily driving experience was really huge. Now, for I know we have a lot of newbies out there or people that with less experience in the RV. And I just want to mention that like you might be saying, well, you had a battery beforehand. Why couldn't you run everything in your RV off it? Okay. So the typical battery on a travel trailer, if you don't have an inverter in your travel trailer, your battery is going to run anything in your trailer that's 12 volt. So that's why you can sometimes turn, you know, you can turn on your lights, a couple of the lights usually, and run a few things. But what you can't run is any of the 120 volt appliances,
plugging things in,
plugs, etc. So the fact that we could go back there and we could have like our cell phone chargers plugged in and maybe like our computer charging back there while we weren't plugged in, we could use every single outlet in the trailer was a big win for us.
A big win. Now, another real perk here, which again, something I didn't consider, when our RV is parked in the driveway, again, it's fully functional. I don't need to be plugged into my house to turn some lights on and to use the RV. And we do go out in the RV a lot. A lot of you use your RVs out in your driveway. Some of you use it as an office. Some of you use it as a guest house, and you're not tapping into the electricity
in
your house.
We're not paying for it. I love that. I'm keeping I can keep my RV refrigerator on when we come back and know that I don't have to pay for the electric. It is amazing that it's just charging all the time. It's a completely passive system that way. We don't have to have anything on for that those solar panels to be charging up the battery, and that's really awesome. I love that.
I am really excited to be going to Assateague Island State Park this fall. We have no water, we have no electric, and we have no sewer, and we have a site right on the ocean.
But I feel like we're prepared because we practiced enough this year already. And
we used our fresh water tank.
That's what I mean. Like we really outfitted it so that I feel totally comfortable doing that and not deviating from, you know, any of our sort of standard operating procedures, except our boys will have to use the bathhouses. But the bathhouses are beautiful at Assateague Island. My boys are so annoying about using bathhouses.
Well, our tanks are pretty big, so we'll be able to have sort of a hybrid of using the
bathhouses. Our boys shower like teenagers. They cannot.
That's because of that crazy aqua ecosystem,
we'll
which we'll get to in a minute.
Later. All right. Well, let's move on then. So that's pretty much our review of the solar. We're thrilled with it, but we believe it's a steep learning curve. And, you know, we think that you should proceed with caution when installing your own system.
And also, if you have a rig currently, but you know you're going to upgrade in the years ahead, and you want solar, you might start thinking about matching the system to the rig you might eventually buy, having enough cargo carrying capacity, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, let's move on to the AccuVitec.
The AccuVitec is just awesome.
People aren't going to believe our reviews, but we are so happy with everything we did. We really didn't have a bum mod.
If a company reached out to us and asked us to try one of these products and we didn't like it, we would tell them we are not going to recommend this.
Yeah. I've had to do it. I've had to write the email. I'm so sorry.
AccuVitec filtration system, which is what, $649. Mm-hmm. That's not including installation. If you're handy, you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. If not, your dealer can do it. It's in a really small package, smaller than a child's lunchbox, and it is a beautiful filtration system. It actually looks good next to the regular faucet, and it provides crisp, clean, delicious drinking water. And I know it sounds like a sales pitch, but the water actually tastes really good. Even my coffee is better in the morning because I have filtered water.
All right. Now, why did we decide to go with a water filtration system? Well, first of all, it has bothered us. And if you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you know this. It has bothered us a lot that we use bottled water on RV trips. And some of you might say, well, then why don't you use one of the safe water drinking hoses and just hook up at the campground? Well, because I actually have read some things about the water hoses and the ways those water filters actually gunk up the inside of water hoses and how kind of stagnant, you know, moisture on the inside can breed bacteria.
I believe it 100%. Yeah. And the water quality can really vary from campground to campground. Well, so this takes that out of the picture.
That's another thing is that two years ago, I went with one of the pitcher options. That was a very high-end water filtration pitcher option. Now, the thing is for the most part, that could be totally relied upon to give us good taste. But when we put it through the pieces and we wound up in Acadia National Park at a campground with, I guess, very bad tasting water because I put it through the pitcher, the boys took one sip the first day we were there and they spit it out. And they were like, this water tastes gross. And we had to go buy bottled water.
Now, on our trip to Maine and Nova Scotia, the water tasted exactly the same every campground we went to. There was a consistency to the taste.
We've camped at two campgrounds where I know the water is not drinkable. Turkey Swamp and Massey's Landing, it has a taste that the boys will not drink. And we camped there with the AccuVitec and the water tasted perfect.
Completely eliminated.
We gave pitchers to our friends that we were camping with at Massey's when they ran out of their bottled water.
Yeah, and look, you bring your Camelback or you bring your water bottles along and you can fill up that fresh filtered water to take on hikes and everything. This system's a win-win. This company is going to blow up. They've just recently received like over $1 million worth of investment or maybe a couple million. You're going to start seeing these everywhere.
All right. So why did we pick the AccuVitec? We knew we wanted a filtration system. Well, I saw the AccuVitec in person at Louisville last fall. And I was like, you know, we had seen online, we had read information about it. But after actually seeing it in person, I was totally sold. So this is an LED UV water filtration system. And it's been developed specifically to work within the confines of an RV and a boat, of course, and a couple of other areas, but definitely an RV. Now, the UV provides ultraviolet germicidal irradiation.
And that's my favorite part, is the germicidal irradiation.
Yes.
And when I sip my coffee in the morning knowing that there has been ultraviolet germicidal irradiation, it just makes me enjoy the coffee all that much more.
And then the LED portion of that title keeps it energy efficient. And that's why it can actually operate on a 12-volt or AC. You don't even need the AC. You can just use a 12-volt power to operate it.
It gets good pressure, too.
Yes.
Because it's a small faucet itself. And initially I thought, oh man, it's going to kind of take a while to get my water here to fill up my coffee pot. It doesn't. The pressure's good.
And you already mentioned the one that we have is the Eco Water Purifier, and that's $649. Now the price. Let's talk review. The price. If you choked on your cup of coffee a little bit when you heard $649, I want to say that I feel even better about that price after using it for a season because I can't tell you how much we saved on buying bottled water being at the campground already.
We're going to have this for the length of time we own the RV. And then once again, if we get another RV, I'm ripping it out and putting it in a new one.
Nobody's getting this.
No, I would buy another one. I would bless the new owners of Buck the Toy Hauler. The point being, you can spend a lot of money over the course of 2 to 3 years on bottled water. And that's something most of you don't add up. Mm-hmm. If you did add it up, that $6.49 is going to start to seem like a bargain.
And the pitcher filters, if you use them, you have to buy new filters for them much more frequently. So that's an added cost. Also, they're not cheap, the filters for the pitchers.
I'm calling it right now on the show. I want one for our home. I want one. They make them for the home. I want one for
this
our
winter
home.
We'll get one installed in the home because I wanted to. I love this thing so much. Now, our kids, we have city water at home. So our kids are really picky about water taste because we drink tap water at home, but it's city water. It doesn't have any of that mineral or sulfur taste that a lot of people who are more used to well water sort of have developed a bit of a tolerance for. So I'm being honest here. My kids are incredibly picky about water taste. They drank this water at every single campground. We never bought bottled water this year, and they loved it everywhere.
I think we're staying better hydrated at the campground this past summer and moving into these next trips that we take in the fall. I think we're all drinking more water.
I'm bad. I don't drink enough water on RV trips.
You're
as much
bad.
As I do at home.
I'm worse.
Because I'm like, I have my systems down at home. But yeah, I think that's probably definitely true. Now, also, we actually had to winterize and dewinterize this because it was installed in the winter and they winterized the system after testing it. And then we dewinterized it. The stainless steel construction means that you do not have to worry about it at all. The antifreeze, just the pink juice, just goes through it like it goes through all the other portions of your water system. And then when you empty it out, like we did, we just flushed it out and we ran it until the pink juice was out. Or we thought we did, and then we had to run it a little more.
I thought I did it enough, and then we had some of that sticky sweet water.
Yeah, and then we're like, nope, didn't run it all out. And we ran it a little bit longer, and
it
was gone. Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back in a second. We're going to talk about Goodyear tires, the RV lock, and AquaGo. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to talk about more modifications, Goodyear tires, RV lock, and the AquaGo, which is another absolute favorite. But before we talk about these mods we made to buck the toy hauler, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing.
All right. We hope that you've been following along with our new RV owner series that we've been doing over on the Go RVing blog and Facebook page. So it's really important to us that Go RVing wants to create educational and informative content for first-time RV shoppers, not just like, you know, all of the beautiful, inspirational content.
We all know
content.
Go RVing is good at the dreamy stuff. Yeah. And we've played our role there too.
But they want to say like, hey guys, we want to support you in your journey to becoming RV owners. So we partnered with them to do that this year. We've been talking about narrowing down your RV type, finding the perfect floor plan, the RV purchase process. We're going through all that
stuff. Nitty gritty.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, initially I thought, oh man, this series is going to be tough to pull off because it's not the dreamy, fun, exciting stuff. But I have loved doing these Facebook Lives over at Go RVing because I love talking to new RV owners and potential RV owners who are a little bit nervous, and we like helping them get past that.
And the feedback from those people has been tremendous because they're saying, thank you. Every time we talk about this stuff, people have questions about it. It's that thing. They need somebody to talk to them in a way that's not mean and aggressive. Like
some of the Facebook groups
exactly.
out there. Not RVFTA, the group, but some of the other ones.
All right. So make sure you're following Go RVing on Facebook, and you will get the notifications when we go live over there, along with all the other great folks that they have go live on their page too. And you can check out the Go RVing scenic route to get more information about buying your first RV. Find your way. Go RVing.
Let's do it. Let's find our way.
We have no problem finding our way. That's for sure.
Right. The only disappointment I had when we bought Buck the toy hauler was that we missed getting Goodyear tires by a couple weeks. Jayco was switching entirely over to putting all Goodyear tires on their travel trailers, and we just missed the shipment coming in. Now, about a year later, we finally got the Goodyear Endurance tires. Very important. One of the major problems, one of the major causes of blowouts are these cheap tires that either get underinflated or lose pressure or they crack, whatever it may be. The joke in the RV industry is that they're called China bombs, cheap tires made in China. So everyone was incredibly excited that Goodyear decided to re-enter the tire market for RVs with the Endurance line. And we are completely thrilled for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. So since they didn't automatically come on our Octane, we had kind of spent some months, you know, at shows that we go to and everything, chatting with the product, you know, directors at Jayco that we love. They've been on our show, and we've been talking about the Goodyear tires and why they decided to make that not optional, not an upgrade, but standard. And they were talking about the increased durability, the reduced air loss, and the advanced sidewall protection. So, and they're made in the USA. So, you know, hearing that
from
them.
Which is no small thing to know that you're investing in something that's made here in the country.
Just knowing that there was a better product out there, we just really want it to have the best product.
I do not think I am imagining much better drive quality. And I know as a fact now, after using these for like 6 or 7 months, they really hold a steady air pressure. When I check the tire pressure on driving days, it's like, oh my God, the air pressure is fine. It's right where it should be. It has not really fluctuated.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. Sometimes with the old tires, like the air pressure would really drop
dramatically.
Sometimes
you would say, I can't believe what that air pressure just was.
Oh my gosh, yeah, down 10 PSI or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I really do feel like it's a noticeable quality difference in the Goodyear Endurance line, which is a reason to buy Jayco. And I think maybe Airstream, a few other people have moved towards using these.
Yeah. So Jayco was the only one, I think, in that first year that they did it. But then, of course, other people jump on board. And so now they are becoming more ubiquitous out there.
And they're good looking, by the way. They're good looking tires. Like, I mean, guys kind of care what tires look like. And some of the ladies probably do too.
Sitting here like,
Stephanie
really?
Doesn't care. No. They're good looking tires. They look good on the rig.
Now, I want to say, some of you out there might be in your head going, wait, I thought I saw something. Because I know that there's been a lot of stuff flying around online about Goodyear tires. When it first came across my Facebook feed, I sort of panicked and clicked on it really fast. Because I was like, Goodyear tires, what's wrong with them? I have them. Okay. So there is a bit of a scandal regarding some older lines of Goodyear tires, most specifically made for motorhomes, or rather not made for motorhomes, made for another purpose, and they were put on motorhomes. I'm not going to go into the details about that because actually I think it's being investigated right now.
Yeah, so we don't have definitive answers there, but that is just so everyone knows. That is not the Goodyear Endurance line that has recently come out for American travel trailers.
Yeah. And if something comes up that is with that line, we'll be sure to share with you because we'll be panicking then.
Now, we don't have to panic about RV security because we installed the RV lock keyless. We had it on the Whitehawk.
Yes. We reviewed it ages ago, but it took us over a
year. It took us a while
to
get it back on. It's just really nice having this system. It's not that complicated or elaborate
to
review.
It's so easy.
Look, we've been locked out of the RV before.
Okay, yeah, let's get this straight. We did not actually install this because we need to keep our RV super secure because FYI, there's really not a lot of valuable things in our RV.
We leave the door open too much at the campground.
Yeah, we're not that kind of people, all right?
It's about not getting locked out.
So really, let's face it. It's about the fact that we, like you have probably had many times ridiculous situations occur because you get locked out of your RV.
You drove out to the seasonal site 2 hours away last summer and you didn't have the RV keys.
No, I think what happened was, remember, because I was almost in tears, I was desperate to get out to the seasonal site. I was going to the Hershey show. I was so behind on a deadline. I was trying to get out there. I started to leave. I got all the way to the highway and I realized I didn't have the keys. I had to drive to your work. And remember, we met in the parking lot to get the RV keys to get out there. I tacked on probably an hour and a half.
But you did have to climb through the windows of the Octane
once. So then another time, I took Maggie for a walk, and I didn't realize that the door was locked. Like, it was on that setting where it, like, automatic, you know, it, like, stays locked. So I took her for a walk. I come back, and sure enough, I was locked out of the RV. I had to break in through the big, thank goodness that living room window's big. I had to climb up.
Stephanie is actually quite agile. Like, I don't know that everybody that listens knows that. Stephanie's actually quite athletic, and I really wish I could have, I wish there was a camera recording it.
Oh, I basically hurled myself into the RV.
That would have gone viral.
I had to, like, hurl. Like, you have to toss yourself.
That would have been
it.
Our viral social
and the toy
media
hauler,
moment.
Just so you know, the toy hauler is really tall. I was climbing on a cooler. It was ridiculous.
And Stephanie, though cute, is not really tall.
So after that incident, I was like, that RV lock, which was like sitting in our house, I was like, it has to get on buck because this is absurd. So yeah,
$239.99 and they're super easy to put in. This is not something you need to have put in by the dealer.
Absolutely not. And it has the code that you can set so everybody in your family knows the code and can get in. It also has a fob on the keychain, which is probably what we use
the
most.
The set comes with two.
Yeah, and you can both lock it using the fob and unlock it using the fob. And I think that that's my favorite thing about it. It works very much like your car keys because you just keep it on your car keys and you can get in and out that way. But also you don't have to worry. You can. I think our RV is more secure because we lock it more because we have the keyless entry.
Agree.
And we don't have to worry about getting the keys.
Agree completely. Now, if you ask, our three big mods here were the solar system, the AccuVitec water filtration system, and the Truma AquaGo endless hot water system. If you asked me which of these three was my favorite, I would not answer you because it would be like asking me which child I love the most.
Which of your brand new beautiful babies do you love the most?
The AquaGo is a game changer. And I feel like it's a little hard to explain to people until you experience it.
I feel like it was the sleeper hit of the season.
The sleeper hit. And let me also, Stephanie and I always try to communicate things via social media, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook Live videos. Well, we can't take videos of us in the shower, right?
Enjoying the hot shower. That's inappropriate.
Maybe we could find some way to do it in an appropriate way. So it's like a little hard to visually explain how awesome the AquaGo is. But the boys, like, they're taking 15. We have to rip them out of the shower. They will not get out of the shower.
I have to pay attention because one of them will get in the shower and I'll just be doing something.
And you think that the third one's in and it's still max.
And then I'll be like, oh my gosh, it's been 30 minutes. Get out of the shower.
We have steady water pressure. And with the Truma AquaGo, it stays at a steady temperature. And like that doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you're actually taking a shower and the temperature is exactly where you want it and it just stays there.
And you never have to adjust.
It's amazing.
Now, I've had two responses online. I see people say, oh, well, we never run out of the hot water. We take Navy showers and, you know, just like take quick showers. It's no big deal. Well, guess what? First of all, there's five of us, and we do our dishes when we camp.
You could do Navy showers and run out of hot water without a Truma.
We did all the time. Like, when I would do the dinner dishes and then try to even just give my three kids quick showers, the third kid was always up a creek and getting cold water every time, even though we were fast. That's not true.
Meaning me, usually. Like, the boys would go through there, or the adults.
Yeah.
The boys would get their showers, and then we're out of luck. We're not getting
a
hot shower.
Or you have to wait until, the hot water gets heated back up in the tank. So you know what? It really actually was something that we just knew. Not everybody could have a hot shower at the same time in our family.
And frankly, when you buy an RV, I know the word residential gets thrown around, but our RV, it is our second home. It's my middle class vacation home. And I want to be able to take a 15-minute shower if I want to take a 15-minute shower. And now I can.
Yeah.
And like you said, no worries about doing the dishes. And we go through lots of dishes.
Yeah, because we don't use paper as much, at the campground. Like, we really do try to use our dishes.
If we went through like a whole big round of dishes previously, no one could take a shower.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There are other options out there for tankless hot water systems right now. But the Truma AquaGo has been tempting us for years. We see it at all the RV shows. Some of you remember years ago I covered it at the Louisville show. And all the high-end Class Bs have a version of a tankless hot water heater. Many of them have the Truma AquaGo. But most of the tankless hot water systems that have entered into the marketplace actually get really mixed reviews. And I was keeping my eye
The temperatures can fluctuate.
Yes. And some people were saying that they couldn't get the temperature right.
And that's actually kind of a little scary.
Right. Would say it would scald. So we were like, But the AquaGo is actually not a quote-unquote tankless hot water system.
It's a hybrid. It's high tech, though. Put it this way. It's European technology from a great company that's from the future.
The future. They came back to give us their technology.
And they're so confident about this. Like, they'll only install it themselves. Right. You cannot install this. Like, they want to install it so it's done perfectly.
Yeah. And when folks like the Fit RV, who we've had on the show, we love Stefan Jeems, they rave about the AquaGo.
They love their hot showers too.
And they have high standards, quality products. We know that the things they recommend are up there, and they recommend this. So we really felt confident going with this option. And boy, did that confidence come through in spades, because it was amazing.
It's an attractive looking system from the outside as well. It heats up quickly. There's a knob on the inside that really just has four settings. It's super easy to use as well. So love everything about it.
All right, let's do MSRP before we kick into the actual good stuff with Billy DiDonato, who is our favorite tankless or hybrid hot water guy out there. He's so cool.
He's like a hot water genius.
He's so funny. I love him. All right, so the MSRP on these is $1,099 for the basic and $1,299 for the comfort.
And
all right?
Stephanie, correct me if I'm wrong. I think Billy's going to mention this. It actually weighs less. You're actually shedding some pounds when you install this from your typical
hot water heater with a tank. Your traditional hot water heater. So, and also this is another thing that Truma says it's nice to know. It typically takes a dealer about 3 hours to install. So if you're trying to figure out your real world cost for this, go with the cost of the, you know, item plus what 3 hours of labor would cost at your
dealer.
And
I have to shout out to Whitehorse RV again, our dealer. They had to get certified with Truma just to install our unit because they hadn't installed one before.
Yeah.
And at first I felt bad because they were like, oh, we're going to have to go through this training with Truma. But then I realized they were all excited about it. They were like all excited to sit down and do this Truma training.
And good service centers should be excited about knowing how to do the next, you know, the thing that's coming around the bend.
For the real RV nerds out there that listen, and we know who you are, we know you're out there. I think Truma is going to bring a lot of innovative and exciting technology into the American marketplace in the years to come. I'm really, really excited to be working with them.
All right, you ready to talk to Billy?
He's the man.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're really excited to have Billy DiDonato here from Truma. He's the dealer technical sales expert, aka the man at Truma. And we just really want to talk a little bit about the history of the company and why the AquaGo is such an awesome option to add onto your RV. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Jayco's J-Feather is easy to tow, easy to set up, and adapts to provide a comfortable retreat for you and your favorite camping companions. Available in either 7-foot or 8-foot wide models, it's the centerpiece of your campsite that everyone will enjoy, and it comes with the peace of mind with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Billy.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We're so happy to have you because we know that you're good at educating people about the AquaGo because prior to us getting one, you educated us about it.
We had a great call with you, and there's no one I would rather talk about hot showers with than you.
This just took a turn.
That might be the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
All right, so let's just dive right in. Now, years ago on the show, we had someone from Truma on just to talk about the history of the company. But many of our listeners probably, you know, didn't hear that or don't remember. And Truma is such a fascinating company with just such a great, rich RV history. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So without going, too in-depth, Truma actually has American ties. We've been running the show over in Europe for close to 7 decades. Some of our systems are actually in 90% of RV production over in Europe. So it's really difficult to step into an RV over in Europe and not see the Truma name. But we came to the States in 2014 and pretty much returned to the country where we were able to get our start. You see, when the founder, Philip Christ, was getting the company off the ground in war-torn Munich in 1949, he was actually able to get the funding to do so through the Marshall Plan set forth by President Truman. And that's actually where we get our name, Truma. We have an original letter from President Truman in response to our owner, Philip Christ, asking if he'd be all right with naming the company after him in his honor because he was so grateful for, you know, getting the company off the ground with his funding. And we have that original response letter from President Truman saying, yes, of course, in our museum in Germany. So we have a really rich history, and we've really made a name for ourselves over in Europe, and it wouldn't have been possible without the American market.
So
the United States.
I'm going to be thinking about Harry Truman every time I take a hot shower. Is that weird?
Is this getting even weirder?
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
So Billy,
portable messaging. Yeah.
Tell us what you do at Truma. You do a lot. You told us that you wear a lot of different hats. What are those hats?
So with Truma, I do a lot of dealer support. Anytime any of our dealers or technicians need any sort of assistance, I'm there for them. I also work with some of the manufacturers that are using our systems, making sure that they're integrating the Truma AquaGo and the Truma Combi, which is our furnace and water heater combination unit, into their floor plans, making sure it's integrated in the best way possible, make sure that they're installing it correctly. I do that. I do a lot of the, I'm the head trainer. So I do these 8-hour courses with technicians across the United States and Canada, make sure that they know what they're working on when they see our system, so that when their customers bring RVs back to their service centers that have Truma systems, they can be much more knowledgeable on the products and be able to fix them with a lot more confidence. Before we came to the States, our systems, they're new technologies that the technicians in our field have really seen before.
So, you know, a lot of what you're doing is about educating. And we know that from personal experience because our dealer had never put one in before. They put one in ours, and they said that they went through your entire training course.
They said it gleefully. Word to our dealer, Whitehorse RV, they were, like, gleeful about it. Like,
yeah.
They were, like, excited. Like, oh, we're getting to do the Truma training.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't annoyed at all.
No,
like,
they were
pumped up and ready to go.
We have a good dealer, and they're always looking to, you know, what is the next thing and to be educated on that. So we kind of saw that other side. Of that. But, you know, part of what Truma has done in the last year or so is start to develop their own service centers, right? Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Absolutely. So last October, October 2017, Truma opened its very first sales and service center down in Lakeland, Florida, which is just outside of Tampa. And what this location is it's basically your one-stop shop for anything Truma. If you need a service done to your Truma Combi or your Truma AquaGo, it's not working properly. If you want to get an AquaGo installed, because on the aftermarket, we can replace existing boiler tanks between 6 and 16 gallons, as well as tankless water heaters with the Truma AquaGo. What's so great about our service center down in Lakeland, Florida, is also offers mobile service as well. It's found to be a very successful setup that we had down there. So within the last couple months, we've actually opened up two other territories within the American Southwest. We've got a mobile gentleman in the Phoenix area who can basically service, you know, most of Arizona down to Tucson, up north to Flagstaff. And then we've got another gentleman who just set up in basically between San Diego and Los Angeles. So Southern California is covered as well.
Is the idea to continue step-by-step growing that network?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goal is, I mean, we would like to have our footprint all over the North American market, United States, Canada. As I said, the Florida one was the first one. We weren't really sure. It was kind of a pilot, but, I mean, the technician down there, David Lehman, has done such a phenomenal job at not only, you know, servicing, installing AquaGos and Truma systems, but also building the name up down there amongst the, you know, all the snowbirds that are going down there and actually RVing. So he's just done such a phenomenal job that we said, you know, It's time that we move forward with this as another branch of the Truma name in North America.
I think it's important that our listeners also know this key fact, too. The consumer cannot install a Truma AquaGo, correct? Is that still the case? It has to be installed by a dealer that's certified.
That is true. The big reason for that is the joke I always make is the first word that Germans learn in English is liability. to make sure that we can provide a never-ending shower at a consistent temperature, the AquaGo has components within itself that have never been in the RV industry before. We've actually taken components and made them work on our 12-volt system from the residential and commercial world. So we're breaking into gas lines when we're installing these units, and we've got a very high output, up to 60,000 BTUs. So we really want to make sure that anyone who's installing the AquaGo has gone through this training. We want to make sure that the unit's being installed properly. You know, you could take the best appliance in the world. If it's not installed properly, it's not going to work properly. Cake is only as good as the ingredients that you put into it. So we want to make sure that every technician who installs an AquaGo has gone through this training.
All right. I love it. I love the quality control. So let's talk about the AquaGo more specifically. You know, we're giving our listeners in this episode an end user perspective on having this, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not experts. You're the expert, and we want to come to you for the technical lowdown here. So what exactly makes the AquaGo different from just a standard RV water heater or also other tankless, quote unquote, endless hot water systems?
Well, the Truma AquaGo it differentiates itself from your traditional tank-type water heater, a boiler tank, by the technology that uses the heat water. It's an on-demand process. As you turn on a faucet, it creates flow that the AquaGo recognizes, and the AquaGo basically calculates how much BTU output, how much that burner needs to operate to heat your water to 120 degrees. So we're heating water differently. Your traditional tankless water heater, you've got a consistent vessel of water, and once it drops below a certain temperature, that burner comes on to heat that water back up to the set point. So with that, you're wasting a lot of propane that you don't need to, and you're also lugging around a whole lot of weight that you don't need to as well. A gallon of water weighs 8.32 pounds. So if you've got a 10-gallon boiler tank, you're lugging around an extra 85 pounds worth of weight that's in addition to the weight of the water heater.
That's a big deal. I mean, that is eating up some cargo carrying capacity. And if you're in a type of RV, like maybe a Class C or something that does not necessarily have a lot of cargo carrying capacity, those pounds are pretty precious. So that's a great point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The AquaGo weighs 35 pounds. I actually used to lug one of those things through an airport twice a week. So trust me, it's not very heavy. And with water in it, it's only holding at all times a little over a third of a gallon. You're looking at about 40 pounds.
I'm blown away. I'm sorry. I'm nerding out on this.
We have been. For months, we've been nerding out on this because, like I said, we're talking about the end user experience. But, like, we had a traditional water heater for the last 8 years. So we know you have to turn it on, and then you're waiting and waiting and waiting before you can take the shower because
it has to
heat up. And then
the hot water runs out.
And then you keep it on because you don't want to have to wait the next time you're going to do dishes or whatever. So, and you hear it cycle on and off the whole time you're in the RV. With your AquaGo, I don't usually keep it on. I can literally, I can turn it on, and in seconds, we have hot water for the shower or the dishes. It's almost like I get it that it works this way, but it still floors me every time.
Absolutely. Yeah, but you know, the traditional boiler type technology, it's been around for 4 decades because it is a tried and true, you know, piece of technology. And we actually borrowed the boiler type technology in regards to its consistency. Yes, you don't have that never ending supply of hot water, and you've got to do a lot. You got to waste a lot of propane to make sure you get that consistency with a boiler tank. But that's what's so great about it. You're not getting any temperature fluctuations and things like that. So we call the Truma AquaGo a hybrid, and it's a hybrid between tankless and tank type. Because we incorporate both technologies. But the way I describe it is, it's kind of like a never-ending boiler tank that you don't have to wait up because it is on demand. So exactly like you just described, takes seconds, but once it's there, it's like you have a never-ending boiler tank.
Yeah. So now I'm going to give you a chance to differentiate yourself from one other, you know, type of product on the market, because our listeners have probably heard, I'm not going to name any other company names, but our listeners have probably heard some negative feedback about some of the tankless hot water systems out there. For a while, they were getting a little more popular and going into a lot of RVs. And to be honest, a lot of people had sort of very mixed reviews of their actual performance out there in at the campground. So, you know, why do you see the Truma as being better than a couple of those other companies that, you know, really started to go strong on the tankless hot water for the RV?
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to stay as diplomatic as possible with this response. But one thing before I do get into that, I would like to say that I kind of hand it to those tankless companies who were the first to come out, because honestly, before them, it'd been the same exact technology for decades, as I said before. So I really do applaud, you know, anytime those companies are going out, like, let's change things. Let's make things better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With Truma, we've got – the Truma AquaGo has got a few different components in it that do allow us to really solve the temperature fluctuation issues that unfortunately had been probably one of the biggest complaints.
Yeah, people, right, the other tankless, right, everybody's always saying they're constantly trying to mess with it to get the right temperature for themselves.
Absolutely. So the number one thing that the AquaGo has that isn't in any other RV water heater is our burner. It's a stepless burner, meaning it doesn't have a first stage, it doesn't have a two-stage burner, whereas, you know, your burner's at either on or off, or it's might have a low feature and a high feature, if that makes sense. The AquaGo is constantly measuring the incoming temperature and flow rate of the water that needs to heat up, and then modulating infinitely between 20,000 and 60,000 BTUs to accommodate a 120-degree output temperature. It's actually a, not to get too technical, but it's actually a 24-volt gas valve that we that's traditionally been used in residential and commercial applications in their tankless water heaters. And so we actually have a control board that steps up that voltage to make sure that we can use it. So we took something from an industry that had never been used in the RV industry to make that happen. Okay. Another key component is our mixing vessel, which is it's this vessel where after we heat the water through that burner and it passes through a heat exchanger, we dump it into this mixing vessel, which I kind of describe it as a little bit of an accumulator, but instead of buffering out pressure, it's buffering out temperature. It's basically a safety net so that we can stabilize that water temperature before it enters our plumbing system. And that's really where we get the consistency. That's where, like, the quote-unquote boiler technology comes into play.
So what you're saying is that Truma, you're all mad scientists.
They're smart.
well, I mean, like, I was asking the head engineer a couple of years ago, how does that mixing vessel work? But I'm short and I'm not German, so that his answer just went right over my head.
did he answer in English for you at least?
Yeah.
Billy's not sure whether he was speaking English or not at the end of the day,
exactly. Probably.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to, before we wrap this up, we want to talk one of the major issues with this water heater system, and that is that it works on propane only. Now, when we first heard that, it gave us pause because of the fact that oftentimes we're hooked up, right? At a campground, we have full hookups, we can plug in. And at those times with our traditional water heater, we would have switched over to the electric because it's free. Mm-hmm. I'm camping, you know, I'll let the campground pay for it. So we were like, oh, wait a minute, is this going to be an additional consumer cost that we're going to have to bear? Now, you guys walked us through that and, you know, definitely told us what the facts were. But now I want you to tell our listeners, you know, are they right to be concerned about, you know, the propane usage with this AquaGo?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the thing is about the AquaGo is to achieve that performance that we've talked about so far, we use up to 60,000 BTUs on the propane side. Now, for the math whizzes out there, if we converted 60,000 BTUs to electrical consumption, what it would take on 110 volt to do that same performance, we would need a 70 amp service. mm-hmm. which is unrealistic, or really good insurance policies.
Right. So you'd be blowing out. You would be blowing out all of our electrical systems and RVs.
Exactly.
So this is technology from the future, basically, yeah. and you have to deal with some of the realities of the present, even though Truma's invented something that's like 50 years Absolutely. Ahead of its time. But it doesn't use a lot of propane. So break it down for us. Like, we got back from a 3-week trip, and we were taking showers galore.
Yeah,
our twin boys take 20-minute showers now with the
like
Aqua
teenagers.
Gel. And we barely tapped into one propane tank. I had two
Absolutely.
Full propane tanks, and I didn't even get into the second one. I think I used half of the first one, and we were in Nova Scotia also using the heater because it was cold at night.
Uh-huh.
So it hardly touched Absolutely. Our propane, but how much is it using? Can you give us a picture?
Yeah, so the AquaGo, you could think of it like this. You could take one of those 20-pound propane cylinders like you use at your barbecue at home. You could use that amount of propane to take a 20-minute shower every day for close to a month before you'd have to refill it.
That's
so
fantastic.
It's
very negligible.
Right.
And a point,
that's as many camping days as many people do in an entire year.
For some people, it's one propane tank for a year.
For a year, right. If you want to like boil it down
user,
to the cost.
It's two propane tanks for
right.
a year. And a point we've made with you guys before is if you're on a seasonal site, which a lot of our listeners are, and you're paying for electric, the electric's often expensive at a seasonal site. And you're going to actually mm-hmm. save money going off your propane.
When we were seasonals, our electric was 100 something dollars, you know, for every like month. It was high. It was always, and everybody would walk around like complaining about their electric bills.
Like, how on earth did I use this much electric?
That's a common practice in the seasonal world mm-hmm. is to complain about your electric bill. So you guys should actually market this to seasonal campers.
But I do want to say to our listeners, I think that the amount of propane used is so negligible. It is such a low cost. I would not make that an issue if you're considering mm-hmm. getting an AquaGo.
Yeah, we're convinced of that. So, all right. Well, Billy, hey, thank you for schooling us once again. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, even though we're just talking
Absolutely.
About water heaters. I don't know how this happens, but it's so much fun.
No, Billy, Stephanie said it's a pleasure to talk to you.
I can't think of a more exciting topic. I mean,
it actually, you know what's funny? And I really mean this. It actually is kind of exciting to talk about because it's such a great product. Mm-hmm. But Billy, Stephanie said you're a pleasure to talk to. And I actually have one more question for you. Are you a Red Sox fan?
You know, I used to be a Red Sox fan when I was little, when you could actually go to games. But now all the Red Sox do is screw up traffic in Boston. So.
Wow. Billy, we're going to have you back on the show again really soon.
I know. Now he gets to come back on, and our boys will like that answer,
We can actually run this interview on the podcast now.
I was saying, now don't say anything bad about the Bruins, because then I might have to give you someone else to talk to at Truma.
We're fine with that.
That's fine.
What sport are they? What are they, cribbage or lacrosse?
I think bocce ball.
Curling.
Watching. Billy, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we meet you in person at some point. Will you be at Hershey? Do you do any of the major trade shows with Truma?
Sometimes I am at the shows. I will not be at Hershey this year. If you ever make it out to Quartzsite, I'm there every year. So.
All right. Well, Billy, we'll talk there soon either way. All right.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You guys take care. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this big episode on all of our mods. And, you know, maybe just one of them's for you. And if you do end up getting one of these mods installed into your RV, please just drop us an email. I would love to hear about it and hear how you're enjoying the products. Let's do our RV FTA news roundup and then get out of here and get back to enjoying ourselves in South Dakota.
All right. So make sure that you are checking out our Campground of the Week podcast with amazing suggestions for camping from all over U.S. and Canada. Of course, a lot this summer. Now, this week we reviewed a gem of a Jellystone that we just visited for the first time and fell in love with. It's in the Catskills region.
2.5 hours from home. We're going back.
Yeah, Birchwood Acres Jellystone. And it was just so nice in New York State. It's a real, if you are in that area, I would definitely put this one on your list.
One of our favorite Jellystones for sure.
All right. Now, also, if you want to ask questions on Facebook about your RV and about, you know, hot water systems and solar, you can get answers with zero snark and zero drama
People
over
even ask
in our
questions
group.
About towing capacity. And people are civilized. People ask questions about black tanks.
All right.
Everyone's civilized.
RVFTA, the group, over on Facebook, no cranks allowed. Join us. We're friendly. And also, I wanted to remind everybody that we've got some discount codes floating around out there that you can just take advantage of. And if you're shopping for certain products, remember that RVFTA is going to get you 10% off of everything at blackstoneproducts.com.
And shipping's always free at blackstoneproducts.com. Also, we can get you 20% off any of Mark Polk's educational materials at rvonlinetraining.com.
Using code RVFTI. And then last one, I know that this still works because I've tried it. Ages ago, we reviewed Betty's Bedding and for the toy hauler that we got. Love it. And they gave us code RVFAMILY to get 10% off over at Betty's.com. And the last time I typed it in, because I keep thinking about getting one for the bunks and then taking it, not pulling, you know, clicking that button, it worked. And
I'll get you those for Christmas, babe.
Oh, you're going to get me kids bedding for Christmas.
By the way, we have another rockin' coupon code, Outdoorsy. If you want to list your RV on Outdoorsy, we can get you $100 credit. So how does everybody do that
one? All right, go to rvfta.outdoorsy.com and you get a $100 rebate when you sign up to list your RV as an owner on outdoorsy.com. And you can also use code RVFTA to get $50 off a rental if you're going to rent yourself. I think those are some pretty great coupon codes.
Those are awesome coupon codes. And thank you to those in RVFTA, the group, that are using those codes and then like putting up pictures of their new Blackstone or, you know, whatever it is, and just letting us know that they're using those coupon codes. We sure do appreciate it.
All right, everybody.
We hope to see you all at the campground.
See you at the campground.